Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
The Partner Complex.
It's not about black.
I don't mean to brag, but I'm the greatest.
That's because you never saw me.
It's not about white.
Raj, meet your new partner.
New partner?
We ain't partners. We ain't brothers and we ain't friends.
We gotta think of a team name. How about the good girls? No, girls just want to have fun.
It's going downhill.
You know what the difference is between you and me? I make this look good.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the Partner Complex. I'm Robbie.
I'm Marvin.
And we got some announcements before we jump in today's show.
Tell them about it.
You can find Limitless Broadcasting in all these different shows. March 22nd through the 24th, we're going to be at the Indiana Comic Con. So I'm from Indianapolis, so I'm really excited about that. And the next convention you can find us at is Spokala, April 5th through the 7th. And then we have a little bit of a break, but that's where you can find us at. And we're really excited to announce that we are launching a new show called Rant Radio. If you're passionate about something, if you like to go on rants, definitely come on this show. And you can be a part of it, so it's interactive. You can call this number, 844-857-7268. And these numbers will be in the footer or show notes as well. Call this number. We're having a promotion right now. For the best rant, you can win $1,000 from Limitless Broadcasting. So if you want to get some money, quick money, call in, do a rant. So happy ranting. So now that those are done, what are we talking about today, Marvin, on the show?
Today we are talking about, is it the 2000, did I lose it? The year already off the top of my head?
Already.
The Tracy Morgan, Bruce Willis.
It's 2010.
2010 team up cop extravaganza, we known as Cop Out. Now, we're gonna just want a little bit more structure this time, Robert, right?
Okay.
We're not gonna be all over the place. We're not gonna jump around. We're not gonna be wild, right? We're not gonna go crazy.
You're not gonna be wild, okay. Okay, right. let's see this.
So before we get into this, all right, tell me in one word how you personally felt about this movie when the credits rolled.
When the credits rolled?
Yes.
Wow, I can't believe I watched that.
I'm going to say this. They had been, the running thing in there is that they had been partners for 9 years.
Yes, that was the thing.
I felt that's how long this movie was.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it had a good cast. It had a big cast in it.
But it definitely, I know that AI wasn't it wasn't able to do this.
Right.
But if you told me that this movie was written by AI, where they just went like, they just basically took all of the movies we'd already watched on this podcast. Jumbled him up, and then AI just regurgitated it out. I'm like, yes, yeah, that's probably about right.
Yes.
That's probably 100% about right.
You can definitely tell this is a Kevin Smith movie.
Go ahead. Give them the numbers. Give them the numbers.
So, Cop Out came out in 2010. It's rated R for action, comedy, crime. It has a running time of 107 minutes. Feels like longer, but we'll get into that. Here's the synopsis. Jimmy's rare baseball card is robbed. Since it's his only hope to pay for his daughter's upcoming wedding, he recruits his cop partner Paul to track down the robber and robber, a memorabilia obsessed gangster. That pretty much sums up this. So,
but I felt like it took them 30 minutes to get to the goddamn baseball card.
So this was directed by Kevin Smith, written by Rob Coulson.
Now, before you get in deep, we'll just go into the editor too. Also edited by Kevin Smith.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean,
written by Rob Cullen and Mark Cullen, produced by Holly Johnson, composer by Harlan Blattmeyer, cinematographer was David Kelvin, and Kevin Smith was the editor.
Let's start with this and that. Okay, We open up on...
Well, let's do the cast first. Go ahead.
Run through it.
Cast is Bruce Willis, Tracy Morgan, June Carlio Hernandez, Brent Rule, or whatever. I think that's how I say that. Jorge Fernandez, Sean Cullen, Kevin Polk, and Adam Brody from the OC. And Pole Boy is a, I can't even pronounce his name, so we'll go on from there. budget is $30 million. Opening weekend, it did $18,211,000. US and Canada is $44 million. And then gross is $55 million. And
off of what budget?
$30 million. The release date was February 26, 2010.
So I don't know how familiar you are with the Kevin Smith cinematic universe.
I don't watch a lot of his movies. Did you ever watch his movie Tusk?
I did see Tusk. I've watched Clerks. I've watched Clerks 2. I've watched Mallrats. I liked
Mallrats. I've
watched Chasing Amy. I've seen a majority of his cinematic endeavors, and I'll tell you this:
I've seen Dogma.
Absolutely love Dogma. He Jason Lee will have a job forever as long as there's a breath in Kevin Smith's body.
First of all, Jason Lee doesn't even look like Jason Lee anymore. He was at a recent convention I was at, and I had to literally look at him and be like, who is this fool?
Well, besides watching My Name is Earl on friggin' syndication, when was the last time you seen him? So
that is a good point. But so you're like, he's lost a ton of weight. He doesn't even look like himself anymore.
I mean, but I don't want to hate on this movie.
So
I don't
let's be get into the movie now. Go ahead and start it out.
We open up two cops interrogating a suspect. They have to quickly establish the fact that they have a dynamic, and that dynamic's been going on for 9 years. They want to beat that over your head.
It's the nine-year anniversary.
Even though it felt like sometimes they kind of were acting as though they hadn't worked together that long.
Right.
I feel like there wasn't enough shorthand for people who've been around that long. I feel like they felt they needed to explain everything. Like, for example, and I know this is a movie thing, but I think sometimes, for example, Bruce Willis isn't married. He is divorced.
Right.
So if Tracy Morgan, to us or to Bruce Willis, is explaining something about his wife, I feel like he could use like more pronouns. It doesn't need to be her full name every time.
Yes.
I think Blankety Blank is cheating. Like, just say you think she's cheating because there's nobody else you're referring to.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. So sometimes it just felt, but that's more of a clunky writing issue. I don't know if Bruce Willis owed somebody money and that's why he was in this movie, but he seemed over it the entire time.
When he was in the when Tracy Morgan was actually interrogating the guy, he was going running through the movie quotes, and then he does yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And Bruce Willis, I think the funny part was, I don't know where that from. That's where
and it did everything but wink at the camera. Oh yeah,
I know, right? That was pretty funny.
So let me pull up my notes on this real quick. So let's see. So Bruce Willis never seen Die Hard. Okay, so we'll skip ahead really quick. So they run through the gambit of Tracy Morgan, I assume, just ad-libbing all of this.
Right. And I'm assuming
they finally get the information from the guy who doesn't know what's going on and gets beat up and decides to tell what's going to happen. We cut to Tracy Morgan in a cell phone costume in front of a cell phone store, just showing his ass.
Yes.
We have the guy who just interrogated inside. A guy comes in with a bag of something. So to skip it. So what do you think of Tracy Morgan just being Tracy Morgan in this movie?
Well, first of all, I didn't know how many things Tracy Morgan actually was in until I watched this movie. And I was like, how many movies and TV shows has Tracy Morgan actually been in? And it's surprisingly, he's been in a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went from this topic to this topic to this topic. It just, okay.
I love Tracy Morgan to death. And I get it because he's from the same part of New York I'm from too. But I feel like his accent, okay, how about this, right? When I watch Tracy Morgan in stuff, I get the same feeling when I watch Sofia Vergara in stuff, where I'm like, all right, that accent can't be that thick at this point. Like, Tracy Morgan sounds like he's wrestling with the English language. Like, I get you from New York, you got the way you talk and all stuff like that, but no matter what I see him in, he's always just fighting words.
Right. No, I agree.
So I was like, what's going on here? So I just really want to get to this next point. So for whatever reason in broad daylight, this guy brings out an AK and just levels the entire place.
Yeah.
Sprays everybody.
Nobody seems to get shot.
No other cops show up. That's crazy.
Right.
So on foot, Tracy Morgan is chasing this guy. Bruce Willis has gotten the car going the other way. Boom, boom, boom. Comedy ensues. Dog, bike. You know what we're getting at here. You saw the movie. Mm-hmm. I put it to where it skipped to the next big plot point, which is like 2 minutes later, where, of course, our cop protagonists have to get yelled at by the chief and have to get suspended.
Right.
And I marked this. And this is based on the movies we watched and the movies we're going to watch in this. If cop movies were real, there would be no cops on the street because everybody would get suspended every fucking week.
Absolutely. That's what makes a good cop movie. From all the movies.
But why is it every time we join our heroes, it's always like they'd mess up one more time. You never see a progression. You're never like, okay, all right, we'll let you off this time with a warning. It's always like the next time he does it because the mayor's up my ass. And I'm like, all right, every time. Mayor's always up. I'm like, how much talk does the mayor really have with the district chief? Anyway? So the mayor's up my ass. I said this has to be a world record. Tracy Morgan has that phone costume on for the entire first act of the movie.
Absolutely. He must have just liked being in it. I think it's funny when they get suspended and then they're like, "Oh, I gotta go tell." They're driving back home, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta tell my girlfriend that I got suspended," and he literally pulls out another bag and is like, "Here you go." He's like, "Why do you have so many? I lose them." I'm just like, okay. Clearly,
the line of this movie, and I would love for you to take if you could find this clip and just rip it off YouTube and put it at the beginning of this episode.
Okay,
it's I safely assume it's Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis just doing improv on Adam Brody and his partner. And he says, "Oh man, you ever smelled him? Yeah, he smells like two Jamaicans slap boxing in an elevator."
It's when they're talking on the phone, yeah, and they're like, "This guy's fucked up the crime scene, buddy."
And then he said, "I forgot Adam Brody's character's name, but I was gonna say Jim." He's like, "And you know, Jimmy's wife is very unhappy. She says he's all foreskin."
That's pretty funny. I think it's because he's Jewish.
I don't think that's what it was. I don't think the joke was that he is Jewish. I think the joke was that he has a very small penis and he doesn't satisfy his wife.
That too. No, I got it.
So, but like you said, they get in the car. You know, I gotta tell my ex-wife that I lost my job because I gotta pay for my daughter's wedding. I forgot this actress's name, but I watched her on Nickelodeon a lot as a kid.
You remember her? She was Harriet the Spy.
Harriet the Spy.
And she was Buffy the Vampire Slayer's sister.
And she was in Eurotrip. And I'm like, yo, she aged all right. You just don't see her enough.
She was in Eurotrip. And you remember when they're on the nude beach and they're like, oh, it's a girl. Even though I think Eurotrip is dumb as fuck, I watched it several times. You got even Matt Damon in that.
Was it who doesn't know? Scotty doesn't know. Yeah, that was
it. Let me pull her up.
I forgot her name, but I gotta believe
Whole Boy is Guillermo Diaz
from Half Baked.
He was from Weeds too.
Yeah, he's been a bunch of stuff.
And I was like, oh my goodness, that's another reason why I started really liking this. Her name is Michelle Trentenberg. Her name is Eva.
But it's crazy because I'm like, okay. So in Harriet the Spy, she's like 12. By the time we get the Euro trip, she's like 18, 19.
Funny thing.
So she's got to be almost 30 in this movie.
Is she is the one that watching her from like Nickelodeon, Harriet the Spy, I wanted to start acting because of her. I was begging my dad to be like, take me to open auditions. Let me get an agent. All of that.
Open auditions were they having in I got to imagine suburban Indiana.
Not very many. I was like, help me get an agent. I mean, I just saw people like on the Blu-rays hanging out on set, laughing around. I'm being like, I want to do that. And then she came up and I used to watch Nickelodeon and she was always on. My sister liked the show. So
it's crazy because I was the complete opposite where I'd watch them and go, oh man, I could cut a commercial. I could just do that. I could cut a movie trailer. I mean, like, you don't even got to shoot the movie. You just cut the trailer. I was like, I'll do that. And this is me as like a kid saying, it's like, I'm like, how you do that?
I was signed to two acting agencies in Indiana. When I was growing up, I just, life got ahead of me. My parents passed away and I just had to become an adult.
That's fair enough. I can't imagine for that. So goes in, we get Jerk Jason Lee. You know, hey, I want to pay for the wedding. You're a cop, but
right.
I kind of wish they had spent less time on other things and kind of really went into. Cause I felt like you couldn't even feel bad for Bruce Willis because his wife wasn't a character,
right?
So it's like, okay,
she's only in there for a couple minutes, though.
She's only in there for that scene at the dinner thing, and then she's back in for the wedding. I don't remember if you see her again in the middle of the movie.
And I think that's how it was for her daughter. Or maybe there was a call in there, but she wasn't in there very much either.
But I felt like it was written for people who've already been through the divorce. You know what this is. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. What happened that made them separate and made her go, I need to get with Rich Jason Lee. Like, is it because he's a broke cop? If that's the case, then I don't feel bad for whatever happened. And when she said, oh, you should let him say he's giving her away too. Tell that nigga eat a dick. Because I'm like, no, it's not happening. And as a guy with a daughter, I don't care what happens. I'm not doing that. Like, no. Like, no.
I agree.
No. If you didn't catch the wife's vomit when she was pregnant or the baby's vomit when she was born, you're not saying nothing about this kid.
No, I got you. Well, I haven't been through that yet, so.
No, I'm just saying.
I'll be honest with you. Having children is very adult. So my hat is off to you for that.
No, man. Having a kid is nothing. Raising a kid is what it is. Having a kid is, you can.
Raising and having a kid, we should say.
But so it was a weird dynamic. It was definitely written for like just a more grizzled older crowd than I was in 2010.
Yeah.
I really what drove me to this movie was, oh man, I really like Tracy Morgan because
and Bruce Willis.
I mean, I watched it for I was
Tracy Morgan was obviously a draw for
me. I'm a TV nerd,
mm-hmm.
and I was heavy into SNL, and I was heavy into stand-up, and I watched the Tracy Morgan sitcom, and I watched him do everything else. So I was like, okay, I'll watch Tracy Morgan. I like Tracy Morgan.
Right.
Bruce Willis was like, okay, I guess people like Bruce Willis. Like, I don't think I've ever seen Die Hard more than once. There, I said it.
So do you think it's a Christmas movie?
I don't care either way.
You know what? We could actually cover that in the podcast.
I don't know, man. Reginald Bell Johnson is not in the movie enough for this to count.
I don't know. He's the guy from Family Matters.
Can we take not pausing the recording, but can we pause on this topic for a second? And let me say this.
Yes.
I found a movie that I think will work, and this is the movie we're going to do next.
Okay.
Letting you guys know right now, secret, if it's not this week, it'll be next week. The next episode, if it's not next week's episode, it'll be the following week's episode. We're going to do Rollerball.
Okay. I've never seen that. So great.
You never seen?
Who's in Rollerball?
Chris Klein and LL Cool J in Rollerball?
Never.
You've seen Rollerball. Rebecca Romaine Stamos? You seen motherfucking Rollerball, bro.
I don't think, I'll have, let me look that up.
You've seen Rollerball, bro. Rollerball. I mean, if you haven't, it's fine, but I'm just saying that you've seen. Make sure it's Rollerball 2002, because it's a remake of like a 1976 movie.
Rollerball 2002. 1992?
No, it's 2002.
2002.
You've seen this movie.
I've never seen this movie, but I will definitely watch it.
All right. Anyway, so back to what we're discussing. So Jason Lee, you know, big leagues, Bruce Willis threatens Jason Lee, and we move on with our story.
Yeah.
To me, that I know you had to give it stakes. You could have easily just made it like, oh, he's going to lose his house, or he has to pay for somebody's surgery. Like, I feel like adding in the, like, oh, he has to sell his baseball card, so his daughter can have this rich wedding was like,
let me ask you this question. He had 6 weeks to pay for his wedding, right? Wouldn't you think he would have already had to pay for it by then?
Yeah, like the idea of it going, oh, we finally figured out how much it's going to cost. It's going to cost $50,000 in 6 weeks. Like, that's like, you wouldn't even have a day unless you knew the price.
Right. Like, I think you would have already had to pay for that. And when we were watching this, Sammy and I, we were like, I think he would have already had to pay for this.
He would have already known, and it wouldn't have been a 6 week thing. Like I'm not even saying it's a bad plot point, but it'd been better if it had been a situation where he's telling Tracy Morgan, not us physically seeing him see the bill for the first time.
Right.
It's like right. I'm like, oh, because my thought process was like, oh, they're going to have to either jump forward a lot, or they're just not going to show the wedding, because there's no way you'd be like, well, 50 grand in 6 weeks. Because God forbid her mom was just sucking some broke nigga dick. Like, what are we going to do? If Jason Lee wasn't there, what was the fucking plan, you know?
I know, right?
And then he ends up paying for it anyway. So, like, what the fuck's even matter? So, I mean, it's whatever. But we'll skip ahead a little bit. And he has his baseball card. I felt in my heart of hearts, Robert, and this is when I get up when we talk about movies, when we talk about, like, stuff people do. I felt that the backstory of, like, the grandfather or father, whoever it was, having the baseball card and them paying to have these child actors do this whole thing was the biggest waste of budgetary money in the world.
Yeah.
They could have easily said, like, all it had to be was, hey, my grandfather had this card. He kept it in good condition. Move the fuck on. I did not need to see New York in, like, 1902, whatever it was, and see him put these cards in a tin. Like, it served zero purpose, added nothing to the plot at all.
I agree with you 100%.
He could have said it was just hit card. I didn't need to see the passing down made no point. Especially because there's no other flashbacks in this movie.
Just that one.
You could have used it where, like, I would have loved to have seen a situation where he goes, I lose them a lot, and hands them the fake or the extra badge. And as their hands touch over the badge, show me 30 seconds of their first day as partners.
Yeah.
Show me Tracy Morgan, where they always do the thing where, like, if he's older with short hair, they always show the flashback where he has cornrows.
Right.
Just give me Tracy Morgan cornrows. Give me Bruce Willis with hair.
Yeah.
Show me their first day.
They could have done a lot with this movie, but they did not.
So I'm like, and it wasn't even a funny flashback. It was like the kid didn't get hurt or nothing. It was just like the flashback served no purpose. I was super pissed.
What did you think of Guillermo Diaz, like being a gangster that loved baseball and sports?
I think it was a time of its era. If you look at a lot of movies, especially even movies that we're doing with this podcast, they seem to like to do, okay, we have this villain, but what's his thing? And every villain has to have like a thing. So it's like, oh, does he like baseball? Does he collect miniatures? Does he like selling? So like back up, like, okay, he's a bad drug dealer, but what does he do in his off time? I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like him just like, it could have been like, it could have just been like, oh man, I steal stuff for this guy and your card is in the stuff I stole. He didn't need to be like, oh, I want to buy a minor league team. I didn't need all that. It didn't serve any purpose.
Right.
No, did at any point did it matter to the Act 3 finale of this movie, him having a baseball fetish?
No, realistically, no, it didn't, because Jason ended up paying for it anyway, and he still got to give his daughter away. So unless
the finale, the big set piece of this movie is going to be a shootout with Guillermo at like a Mets game, what was this baseball subplot point?
I agree. 100%.
And he had to mention it every time. He's in the church. We got to buy a minor league team. They show up to his house to get the card. Oh, you like my diamond room? You know, because baseball's diamonds. I was like, I'm going to cut it off right now. Fuck this podcast. I'm not watching this fucking movie anymore.
They had a Stifler in this movie.
Okay, so we'll skip that. So he gets the card.
John William Scott.
Yeah, so I pulled that thought too. So we get... So Bruce Willis gets the card, tells Tracy Morgan, this dumbass flashback plays, and then we get to the collectible shop. As this guy's looking at the card, Sean Williams guy comes in with his homeboy. They're robbing the place. They taser everybody. Tracy Morgan's outside having the loudest conversation ever, not hearing anything at all.
Not paying attention at all. What a cop, right?
All right, so I want to skip ahead a little bit, just a little bit. They end up catching Sean William Scott and they got him in the back of the car. This is after they've staked out the house and the crazy mom. We'll get to that. I want to skip to this. Look me in my eye. Talking to you, Robert. Look me in my eye, Robert.
Listen, I'm watching. I'm right there. I'm
looking at the camera right now. Tell me that Chris Pratt is not living Sean William Scott's career.
No, I could see that.
You're telling me right now that Sean William Scott, this guy who's in the back of this cop car right now, if you went back in time and switched out Chris Pratt and him for Guardians of the Galaxy, is it not the exact same fucking movie?
No, I could see that. Absolutely. But
so,
for some reasons, Sean William Scott got canceled. I don't even know why.
I don't know. I don't think he got canceled. I think he got blackballed. I think but I don't know. But I'm just saying that there's no way you can tell me that everything that you've seen Chris Pratt do in the last decade, you cannot physically see Sean William Scott doing the same thing. Talk about Guardians. I'm talking about
Jurassic Park.
I'm talking about Mario. Everything.
Absolutely.
I can see you could switch those two out and nobody'd know the gosh darn difference.
No, do you see his Super Bowl commercial? The Pringles?
What happened in that one?
He walked in the store and he was like, had the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
you look like the Pringles guy. And then it just slowly became a running joke. And his agent's like, oh, I got a movie or I got a part for you. And at the end of it, he has the poster.
And the
store clerk is like, do I get a cut? And he reaches out with the Pringles.
So, but like I said, now replace Chris Pratt with Sean William Scott in that commercial. Does anything change?
No. So they can play the same character.
So I thought that was weird to me. Like I'm watching, I'm like, yo, why does this feel familiar? I'm like, oh, because that could have easily just been Chris Pratt in the back of that car.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been Sean William Scott in Guardians of the Galaxy, and it'd been the exact same movie.
Yeah, I agree.
So that caught me off guard. But
I agree.
But I digress. So,
but I was shocked to see him in this movie. Like,
why?
It was just one. I didn't know he was in there.
The only thing that got annoyed for me was that I felt like he never really got his comeuppance. Like, he never took a L, really.
In the movie?
Yeah, like, he always had the upper hand. Like, oh, yeah.
He talked about the fact he landed on his head.
Yeah, but did you see the post-credit scene?
That's right. He was like, open the bag, bitch. No, absolutely.
And then scared her, and I'm like, I felt like in reality, in real life, right? She would have approached the bag with a scalpel in hand, and he'd have got stabbed. I felt like, because that's what would have happened.
Absolutely. You've seen too many horror movies like that.
I'm saying, so I'm like, as a regular person, you're gonna see what's up.
Yeah. So, where do you want to go to now?
So we'll skip ahead. Somebody snitches on Sean William Scott. I forgot who snitches on him. That finds out that they're gonna rob the house.
I think it's
no. Oh, he goes. I think that's when he goes. He goes to.
I think it's the guy that they're interrogating. Snitches on Sean William Scott, and that's how they get there.
No, because they shot the guy who's interrogating already in the beginning, in the first interrogation.
I don't know. Somebody snitches on him, but I don't.
Somebody says don't you, and he finds out that they're gonna be in a house somewhere in like Long Island somewhere.
No, he remember he's like they're interrogating him after robbery.
No, you're right. No. He sees the tattoo, and they go find the tattoo parlor, and
the tattoo parlor guy. Yes.
Okay. All right, so tattoo a unicorn on your eyeballs.
Right.
Okay, so they get to the house. They're scoping it out. This guy has this long one. Like, oh, I think my wife's cheating on me. I think my wife's cheating on me. And I don't even remember. And it was only like a day ago. Did they wrap that up? Was she cheating on him?
No. Do you remember he had the nanny bear in there? And made it look like she was cheating on him, but she really wasn't. He was just... She just has a neighbor friend
that's another thing that they wasted time on a fucking flashback of that, but they didn't go, let's go into why Tracy Morgan is super paranoid about his wife cheating on him. Cause it seems like he comes out the gate that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, is there a prequel to this I'm just fucking missing or something?
Right.
So they get to the house. They watch who is essentially Sean William Scott just take a poop in the house. I have no idea why they wait out there so long once they see him enter the house.
And all the commentary with that, he's like, oh no, he's doing all this.
Oh my God. I'm like, why? I'm like, you guys are cops. Go fucking stop him. You guys wait till the homeowners show up, which is super dangerous.
And then she's about that life. They're like, you have to come. And she's like, I got this gun. Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna run in there.
Are you going to F somebody up? And she's like, I'm going to, I'm going to F somebody up.
And then it's funny, like, she's like, she runs in there with the gun, and he's like, don't drop it. Mm-hmm. Getting the situation under control.
So the problem was, and I think the issue of this movie is, I never felt like they were old cops. I felt like they were bad cops. Because everybody always gets to jump on them. Everybody, I'm like, bro, how are you guys not already dead? Like, at this point, you guys are just terrible policemen at this point.
Maybe that's why you're broke.
I'm saying, right? That's why you're hurt right now.
Good cops make a living. If you're a bad cop, you're probably not going to progress.
Remember, Jason Lee put in that one little bit, like, oh, and you've never had to pay a dollar of alimony. Then, nigga, where is his money going?
Right, exactly. I mean, maybe he has a gambling problem that we don't know about.
There's a lot of stuff that they don't tell you about.
Blowing hookers.
The fact that I know that the villain loves baseball, but I have no idea who Bruce Willis is outside of being a cop and the hot chick's dad, I have no idea what's going on with his life.
How did they meet up with the Mexican chick in this? Like, they got her, they're in witness protection, and...
So we're going to skip ahead a little bit, because this doesn't have to be a two-hour-long thing, because this movie's not worth it.
Right.
So they get Sean William Scott out of the house. They drag him. They take him to the river. They drag him on the rocks. He gives up the big bad. They go to Big Bad's house. They kick dude in the nuts, whatever, yada, 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 threaten the dude. No, they don't hit him in the nuts. They billy club the dude's knee. And I'm like, crazy how you're down to fight these two friggin' Mexican guys who could probably mess you up, but Sean William Scott's just giving y'all the work. Okay, whatever. Mm. They go inside. Hey, give me my thing or I'm gonna kill you. He's like, oh, word. And then like every Mexican that's ever worked in Hollywood shows up and they're all got guns pointed at him.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just want my car. So do what police do and go get my car.
Right, because he wants this Mercedes that he bought. That's right. And they get the Mercedes, and the girl's in the back.
You know what's crazy, too? I felt like they didn't even need to show. Okay, I didn't feel like they didn't need to show the car getting stolen, and then, like, moments later, explain that the car got stolen.
Right.
Because you never see those, like, it's like, what was, I mean, I guess to establish that they're going to kill those two characters, which they do, but I'm like, I'm like, there's a lot of wasted stuff going on in this.
There's a lot of wasted space in this movie.
Yeah. But, so,
you know, $30 million, you can, I guess, Hollywood so waste it.
They leave the Mexican's house. He puts the camera in the bear. They do the weird scene where, like, they describe of how Tracy Morgan's wife would be cheating. Rashida Jones, by the way, I love Rashida Jones. I'll give you a dollar right now if you can tell me who Rashida Jones's dad is and how he relates to something that you love.
Don't
look it up. Don't look it up.
I have no idea who Rashida. I know she was in The Office and she was in Park and Recreations.
Do you give up? Don't read it. Don't read it. Just give up.
I don't know. I don't know. No, I don't know.
She's half black. Her dad is Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones gave you Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Is she really?
Mm-hmm.
Holy fucking shit. I did not even know that.
You thought she was just a beautifully tanned white woman?
Realistically, yeah. I did not even know that. I didn't know she was Quincy Jones's daughter.
Her dad a little darker than me.
That's crazy. So it's nepotism is what you're saying is nepotism is real in Hollywood.
Yes and no. In her defense, like, she's not like, I'm Quincy Jones's daughter. I'm only doing cool stuff. She makes a fool out of herself a lot. Like, I'm assuming in The Office, I don't watch The Office like that. I loved her in Black AF. And she's done a bunch of movies and Black TV AF? Shows. Kenyon Burris, who did Blackish and Grownish and Mixedish.
Uh-huh.
He did his own television show, like a show he starred in.
On Netflix,
where he's playing himself.
Okay.
But it's more like it's an R-rated version of Blackish.
Okay.
There's no like drugs or sex or nothing in it, but it's just adult language.
She's been in 83 different movies.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
And she was in 2 Week Notice with Sandra Bullock, I guess.
Hmm.
I had no idea.
I feel like I always take you on this journey of stuff you didn't know, right?
No, that's why I like doing this podcast, is because we see more and more. Yep. Black AF 2020. She was in five episodes and directed one episode.
Well, there's only five
episodes. Executive producer of five episodes, directed one and eight episodes.
I think it's only five or eight episodes anyway. Like it's a limited series.
Yeah, eight episodes, executive producer five, directed one. Yeah, I had no idea. I had no idea that she was in The Simpsons. She's clearly been in The Office, Vamped, Robot Chicken.
She's had a couple shows. I forgot which one she had. She had a police procedural, like making fun of like Law and Order, where she was like the star.
She was in Freaks and Geeks, The Last Dawn.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I had no idea. She was in the Chappelle Show, Wanted. So here's what happened. Yeah, she's been a lot. I had no idea that that's Quincy Jones's daughter. That's actually really cool.
I love me some Rashida Jones, bro. So skipping ahead, he puts the bear in there. I forgot what happens, blah, blah, blah. They go to the parking garage and they find the kid. Am I missing any big points between that and the kid?
No.
The kid sequence was funny. I'm giving the kid sequence was funny.
Because he's the biggest car thief. He's like,
But that's what I felt like. It felt like, how they pulled it off after the reveal was funny, but I feel like the reveal itself was like super duper contrived. Like, oh, this is a ha 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 joke. This is one of them jokes like why did chicken cross the road? It's one of them old classic jokes like, oh, we gotta do the misdirect. Oh, it's a kid. We'll tell your mom. No, she beat my ass.
I think that was funny.
You're not gonna do that to me because I'm a minor, and then he's
no. I'm doing this because you're 10. That part was actually pretty funny. I think that was the funniest part of the whole movie.
That was the funny part of the whole movie right there, where he just kicks him in the dick, and he's like, what? And he puts him in his, and then he's just, come on, I'll me in the minor. I'll beat a kid's ass. I'll beat a kid's ass when they kick me in my ball.
Absolutely.
And then the kids just roasted him like, I can find out the name for you. Give me that phone. I'm 11 years old. Got a better phone than you. Broke ass. That's funny. He's just roasting him the whole time. That was, and there's a reason why that piece was in the trailer, because that's the funniest.
The funniest part. So basically at the end of the movie, he pays for the wedding. What happens to Guillermo? Like, oh, they have that. They kill him in a big shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Got you. They have a big shootout at the guy's house, and like Tracy Morgan shot him, and he literally shot off the head of the baseball card.
Yeah.
And then Tracy Morgan's like, oh, that wasn't my shot. That wasn't, and trying to deny it.
So the thing was,
it took a long time for us to get there, though.
Yeah, I'm going to skip a lot of that. I'll just say this, that in real life, if that really would have happened, if two suspended cops would have just shot up half of fucking Latin Harlem, they'd be in jail and never work again.
Absolutely. Now they're not getting promoted. Definitely not.
At least. So, I mean, it's just like that's it's Batman level vigilantism. It's ridiculous.
At this point, yes, you have a fake badge pretending to be a cop, which you're not anymore because you're suspended.
That is a felony. Like, you're doing time for that.
You're not. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't care what Guillermo did. You are doing fucking time, bro.
Yes.
Like, bro. So we gotta bring the meter. We'll bring the meter out. We'll just do the meter now. Because are there any other big plot points you want to bring up in this movie? I won't stop you.
We pretty much covered the whole movie. Would I watch this again? No.
Would you watch the kid sequence again?
I would watch the kid sequence.
Like if I sent you the whole movie, no. But if I sent you it like in a YouTube clip a year from now, would you watch it? Like 3 minutes and 13 seconds.
Because that's the funniest part of it.
So Tracy Morgan, Bruce Willis, I don't feel like looking up their names in the movie. Don't look it up now. On the level of
Jimmy Riggs and Paul. Murtaugh.
Okay, Jimmy and Paul, on the level of Riggs and Murtaugh and Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg and Two Guns. Where are these guys ranking up?
Man. Probably over them, because that's the convey. They were like been through thick and thin. But I feel like, you know, maybe they're probably.
I'm going to put them. I'm going to be honest with you. And as trash as this movie is, I got to put their partnership. This is based on their partnership. Yeah,
the partnership is over.
I got to put it that they might be partner goals right now, especially after that last sequence where Tracy Morgan had the gun to Jason Lee's kidneys.
Yep. I agree with you 100%.
They did that little wink and look away, you know, so that might have to be it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think partner-wise, they're above everybody. So
it's up there. It's well over Let's Be Cops, well over Lethal Weapon 1, well over a lot of the stuff that we've gone over, just because you know what it is? Because this movie's never getting a sequel, and they knew this going in. But if we ever get further enough where we get to like the Lethal Weapon 2s and 3s and Men in Black 2s and 3s and stuff like that, then this thing will move slightly down the list.
Oh, absolutely. But for right now, I think this tops the cake.
As far as partner-wise goes. So.
Partner. Just for partners, yes. They are in the lead.
So thanks for letting me pick this movie.
Yes.
It's your turn now.
I thought we were going to do Rollerball.
We'll save it. Did you have another movie in mind, or do you want to go to Rollerball?
Rollerball is fine. I've never seen it, so let's do Rollerball.
All right, Rollerball it is.
So we will definitely be back with Rollerball. My first time seeing it. So
I can't believe you've never seen it. Well, was your first time seeing this one too, wasn't it?
I saw this a long time ago, but I forgot half the plot point.
I forgot all of it.
I mean, honestly, I thought this was Taxi with Jimmy Fallon.
And
for some reason. Yeah.
That's on the list. I'm not excited, but that's on the list.
And so that's what I initially thought. And then I looked this up and it was like this. But I mean, for partner wise, they're up there.
Last joke, just to say this, because I don't know, because we won't talk about this again until we get to that episode. So this is a little preview of that episode later down the line. Taxi was the last video rental I ever did at Blockbuster.
Wow.
It was a double movie night with that and Get Rich or Die Trying.
Do you miss Blockbuster?
Yes and no. Like, I don't miss going in there and what I want isn't there. So yeah. Streaming has you beat on that, because there's never a situation where like streaming just is out of copies.
Right.
But do I miss, like, for example, okay, so, and this is me just telling stories now. I worked at Pizza Hut and my cousin worked across the street at Blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
So I'd be like, okay, I'll grab a couple free pizzas, bring them over there, and he'll have my movies ready to go already in the bag, chilling.
Yeah.
Swap that out and, you know, picking movies, seeing what's out there, run across stuff that you wouldn't normally run across. Like a lot of those movies that end up being like Redbox classics or movies that would now be on Tubi.
Uh-huh.
Like instead of watching, instead of watching Scream, I was watching Stab.
Okay.
With the best line in history of cinema, where like, right, the killer kills the first person, and then and the next time is like the next scene is like all the friend group meeting at somebody's house,
mm-hmm.
and I want to recreate this shot because it's always a great shot to me. It's outside on the street at night, so all you see is the house and the lights on in the house. And all you hear is ADR of one of the people going like, so I brought you here to let you know I have herpes. And then it just goes into the scene. And I'm like, that. And it's a serious horror movie. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
how about you? Would you rewatch this?
Nah, man. There's everybody in this movie has much better movies to watch.
Yes.
Bruce Willis has obviously an entire discography of better movies.
Clearly, Tracy he Moore. Owed the studio a movie, and he was like, "This is it. Yeah, this fulfills the contract or something."
He said, "I've always wanted to work with Kevin Smith. Why not? What you got in mind, Kevin Smith?" And somebody said, "Well, this thing." And he's like, "Fuck. Do I need to play a grizzled cop? Yeah, okay.
That's it."
Tracy Morgan has better movies. The guy played Guillermo has better movies, including like Half Baked and other things. Even other movies, he's played the villain. So
He was great in Weeds.
There you go. So there's everybody in here has better movies. Go watch Euro Trip if you want to see the daughter or something. Like this, everybody had better movies. Jason's got Jason Lee had better movies. I don't know the actress who played the ex-wife, but she probably is in something better somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is the worst I've ever seen. It's just something that's easily forgettable.
I agree. When we were going through it, I really had to, okay, now that we're talking about it, I see what we're going. It's not one of those movies it was easy to call back on, like, oh.
But it's just certain things I got upset about that I was like, okay, I remember that flashback because I was like, what the fuck is the point of this? There are no other flashbacks in this movie. And that flashback, so I'll give you this. Here's another flashback idea. I'd rather you have shown a flashback of Guillermo playing baseball as a kid, coming from Cuba, wherever he came from, like something, a hip, having a baseball memory of something.
True. No, I agree that with you.
Like, I feel like they picked the worst moment and sequence and reasoning to have the one flashback of the movie.
No, I agree. I agree with you.
But I mean, I don't know. Somebody had an obligation. Somebody owed somebody some money. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, that wraps up this one, correct?
That is correct. Anything else you'd like to pitch or anything?
No, I pitched everything I needed to in the beginning of the episode. So just like and subscribe. Leave your comments. Let us know what you think of this movie, if you liked it or not. And we will see you on Rollerball.
See you guys on Rollerball, bro. To the death.
Yep. All right, we'll see you later.
Thank you for tuning in to The Partner Complex. This has been a production of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Hosts of the show are Robert Brooksby and Marvin Ellis. The Partner Complex is edited by Samantha Brooksby. And to find out more information about The Partner Complex, please check out their Instagram at The Partner Complex. This has been a production of Limitless Broadcasting Network.